Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you here. If you would stand, let's grab a hymn book and turn to page 177. We're going to sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Praise the Lord for His faithfulness.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be. Great is Thy faithfulness. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to Thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and the peace that endureth, Thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Straight for faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Amen. Aren't we thankful for the Lord's faithfulness? Amen. No matter what the situation, regardless of the trial, He's faithful. He'd be denying Himself if He wasn't faithful. So we're so grateful for the very nature and character of our God. It's good to be here this morning. Good to be here with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And looking forward to what God will do in our midst and in our hearts and lives today. I'm thankful I can be in church. Be somewhere where the good songs of Zion are sung. Where the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is lifted up and magnified. And we're grateful if you're here this morning and a visitor, that the Lord brought you our way. It's our prayer, our desire to be a blessing to you indeed. Well, let's take a couple minutes at this time and welcome each other. Church family, please get around and welcome our visitors as well.
Aren't you glad that Jesus loves you?
Amen.
Amen. Let's turn also to page something. Page 507. Page 507. Come thou fount. We'll sing it first and last verse.
Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Oh, to grace how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Use my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above.
You can be seated.
Amazing grace has cleansed my soul.
please stand once more. Let's turn to 223.
I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith, and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died.
Can be seated.
Amen. Just before Curtis comes with the rest of the announcements, I wanted to have a word about what we'll be doing this evening. Be a bit of a different service. It's in your bulletin, simply called Church Security Awareness Night, and in the sense that the days in which we're living, we need to be a little more aware of some things that are going on security-wise. We've taken steps over the years to protect our church family. But in praying about that and thinking about that, I thought it might be a wise thing to do, to take a little bit of time and show and explain some things to our church family. And so be aware of that. We'll be doing that this evening in the evening service. And I am going to leave it up to parents as to whether you want your children in the service or not. From what we are thinking to do, it probably will not be much of a problem for most children. But if you do what you think is right as far as that. I'm trying not to say more than I should, because we kind of want to surprise you a bit. But on the other hand, it shouldn't be too dramatic. We're going to have a simulation take place in this evening's service, but it's not going to be of an extreme dramatic thing like we did during an exercise about a year ago. If any of you that were present at that time. One other thing. Ronnie, cut this mic for a moment.
Are we alive now? Can you hear me? Miss, back in the back, thumbs up? All right, good deal. Gentlemen, if you'll take your place and get ready to receive this morning's offering, we'll go over the rest of the announcements while we're doing this. If you'll notice in your bulletin, we have an insert. On one side of it, there's a reminder of our bookstore hours and when they'll be here. And Miss Beth said tonight they will not be open tonight, so... tonight won't be. But other than that, I think everything's there. On the other side, the youth yard sale. It's the one and only fundraiser, the major fundraiser that we have to help set off the cost of youth camp this coming year. And the Lord has blessed in times past. Starting next Sunday, we'll start collecting our stuff to be ready to do it. I've had people saying, I've got stuff, just come get it, you know, or waiting for it, you know, can I bring it or whatever. Next Sunday we'll open up the doors and here we go. So if you need something picked up, if you'll let me know in plenty of time, and we'll see if we can't get that scheduled to get it picked up also. On the back side of the bulletin up here at the top, we are asking for some, we need some more greeters. Guys, we do need some more greeters for this. And see Brother Jacob concerned about that.
Also prayer warriors.
And also prayer warriors. We also need prayer warriors for that also. We need some help with that. Other than that, everything's laid out right here. We got ladies' fellowship coming up, the Metro Saints fellowship's coming up, the men's breakfast coming up. Next Sunday evening, we will be observing the Lord's Supper and the evening service. Home Builders class is an activity coming up. Save the date for the ladies' banquet in April. We got a whole list of things there. So just save that bulletin and read it. So.
Amen.
Let's, if you don't mind, let's pray. Lord, thank you for us today. Thank you for everything you give us today, Lord. Lord, thank you for the time of year that is the time of change, the time of warmer weather, Lord. Thank you for the rain that you've given us, Lord. And Lord, just thank you for everything that you have given us. At times we just forget to say thank you for, Lord. Lord, I'm asking you today to be at the offering about to receive, be at the gift and the giver. Lord, the reason why we're here is to hear from you, Lord. Lord, and when the preacher comes just a moment, please, Lord, give him the words that you want him to say. Hide him behind the cross, Lord, and prepare our hearts to receive him. Love you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
She was down on her knees, she would never get free. Her accusers had stones in their hands. They turned to Jesus that day to see what he would say. The Lord just wrote in the sand. They all walked away when they heard him say, let the sin-free cast the first stone. With tears on her face, her sins were erased, and she stood in a moment of grace. The thief on the cross knew his life was lost. He must pay for the crimes of his past. He had done nothing right. He would sure lose this fight. His time was running out fast. So he took his last shot, said to Jesus, why not? Remember me when you reach heaven's gate. Right there he forgave, his past was erased, and he died in a moment of grace. A moment of grace, undeserved favor, unmerited joy. My soul found an anchor, unmerited love, and mercy that swept my soul away. He called my name. Everything changed in a moment of grace. I've been counted out by the self-righteous crowd who would say you're not worthy of him. You've drifted too far. You're so stuck in sin's mire. You need a miracle that only God can give. Then Jesus came by and with this reply said, I choose you, live for me today. Again he forgave, my sins were erased, and I stood in a moment of grace. A moment of grace, undeserved favor, unspeakable joy. My soul found an anchor, unmerited love, and mercy that swept my soul away. He called my name. Everything changed in a moment of grace. Unmerited love and mercy that swept my soul away. He called my name. Everything changed in a moment of grace.
I'm sure thankful for that moment of grace where God moved in and dealt with my heart, dealt with in my life. Well, you can be turning this morning to Matthew chapter 5. Since the first of the year, we've been looking at, well, I guess it's actually been 9 messages from the Gospels talking about following Jesus, specifically following Jesus. And we return now to the Sermon on the Mount where we left off some time ago. And but we're still dealing with the subject of following Jesus. As we would study and hear from the Lord Jesus Christ in these immortal words, they certainly challenge us in this matter of following him. So please, if you found your place there in Matthew chapter 5, stand with me in reverence to the Word of God, reading just one verse this morning, verse 13, where Jesus says, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out, and to be trodden under foot of men. Our Father, we bow before you once again. Certainly we thank you for your word. Thanking you, Father, that you're pleased to speak to us. I thank you for this sermon, what we call the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus Christ addresses those that had gathered to hear him. Father, we gather here today to hear from him. We desire to hear what he would say to each of us. And I'm asking you in his name that you would fashion that message for each of us today. Whether we're here, we simply need that challenge from your word. Whether there is a need for encouragement, comfort. Father, whether there be a need of hearing and responding to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, please, deal with each heart, every heart, exactly where it stands with you today. Father, thank you for your love for us, for your grace, as we've heard sung. We pray that we indeed would be totally committed and submitted to you and to your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Of course, you may be seated. Did want to mention, it's great to see Arnold Stowe here this morning. He's had a rough time this winter. We're thankful that he and Sherry are with us this morning. Please continue to pray for him. Sister Crinny's in rehab and others. God was pleased to do for Dale this week, and we rejoice in that. God is good. We have a good God, folks. Well, the old saying referring to someone as the salt of the earth. The salt of the earth meant that, well, they were good folk. They were just a salt of the earth type of folk. Kind of people that you could rely on. They were there for you. The salt of the earth type people. Well, even as we think of that terminology, you know, the word salt used as an adjective or described there, but salt has always been held in great value in society and amongst humankind. Men were evaluated at one time as being worth their salt or maybe not worth their salt, speaking of their ability or their value in doing their job, accomplishing their task. Roman soldiers at times were paid in what was called salarium or a salt ration so that they could purchase their salt. And of course, the English word salary even comes from that word for salt. Well, most agree, there is probably the exception, but most agree that the phrase, the salt of the earth, derives its origins from the very passage, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ before us today. He declares to his disciples that they are the salt of the earth. But he poses the question, and really the verse is more about the question about if the salt has lost its saltiness, lost its savor. Now I want us to begin this morning just briefly, very briefly, looking at the positive impact where salt is applied. And indeed, we see here that the Lord Jesus describes his followers as the salt of the earth. Well, there's many uses for salt. And I'm not going to try to be cute this morning, not trying to come up with anything special or novel. And so stick with me here as we try to look at a little bit of this. Salt is pretty much taken for granted as it inhabits its humble shaker on dining room tables around the earth, around this earth planet. It has been a mainstay in mankind's existence since its discovery. And there's all kinds of debate on even when salt was discovered. But it really goes back to the very beginning of recorded history. At least then, there was an acknowledgement of the importance of salt. At times in history, salt was even used as currency. There was a supply of salt. It was so important, so valuable, you may get paid in salt. And of course, you could take that salt and exchange it. Salt is an essential element in the diet of not only humans, but of course animals, and even in some cases, plant life, and we'll talk about that more later. Beyond seasoning, throughout history, it has been one of the most effective and widely used food preservatives as well, to preserve food, and we're aware of that. We'll look at a few other uses for salt as we go through the message today, but for our purposes here, it's most important that we understand why Jesus uses salt as an illustration. And so even with that, we should probably understand what the basic uses of salt were in the first century. Wouldn't you think that would be a good idea? Well, obviously, as it has always been, salt was used as a seasoner. And as we all know, at least speaking personally, salt makes food more palatable. It's a flavor enhancer. And in the first century, as today, we use it, we season with it to the amount that we have trained our taste buds to expect. So salt was used as a seasoner, and of course we'll deal with that a little more as we go along. But also, salt has been used as a preservative for centuries. Salt retards the corruption, the putrefaction of food. And along with that same ability, there's evidence or support that salt was used as a disinfectant. In fact, I read in one place that in some cultures, when an infant was born, his skin would be rubbed down with salt. Amazing. Wouldn't think of that, but they had their reasons for it. Obviously, before we had refrigeration, salt was a good method for inhibiting the growth and the survival of undesirable microorganisms. What's a microorganism? I guess it has something that's real little. But it's those microorganisms that can attack the purity of food. Salt works well as a preservative because it reduces the water content. It reduces the water content, and with that, then the activity that goes along with the water content in the food. To lessen the water of a food, the amount of unbound water in the food is that is not available for that microbial growth. And of course, all the chemical reactions that go with it. Anybody hungry for lunch? We also find in the first century, or in the times of the scriptures, that and we want to mention it here, that salt had the ability as a herbicide. We mention its ability to ruin soil for plant life because we find it so used even in the Old Testament. In Judges chapter 9, in verse 45, there's a measure of a battle going on, a war that's going on. And in Judges chapter 9, verse 45, a leader by the name of Abimelech fought against the city of Shechem. And it says they battled all day. And he took the city and he slew the people that were therein. He beat down the city, he destroyed the city, and he sowed it with salt. He sowed the city with salt. Now, for the most part, we understand that the crops and so forth weren't grown in the city. They would be grown outside of the city. But it was very significant that Abimelech sowed the city down with salt because it was that message that this city is destroyed and shall not live again. And again, if you have any question as to salt's ability as an herbicide, just take note of the Valley of the Dead Sea region. If you want to see what salt does to soil, I mean, there's a reason it's called the Dead Sea. And if you've been there, guess what? Everything in the area is dead. Nothing grows there. I mean, if they want to grow anything there, they got to haul dirt in and protect it from the area, and of course water it with good water. And the salt is destructive to the soil. Well, we also see salt's, I'm going to try to don't get a tongue twister here, salt's uselessness when it loses its savor. Salt's uselessness when it loses its savor. Once again in our verse, be mindful again, Jesus says, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Well, Lord Jesus in this verse is really focusing on salt that has lost its savor. Salt that has lost its saltiness. And we see the worthlessness in Jesus' direction of savorless. I mean, you stick with me here. Say that fast real time, 3 or 10 times. I can't even explain it. The worthlessness of savorless salt. Now, Jesus, obviously, is referring to salt that is no longer salty. Salt that has lost its salinity. He asks the rhetorical question, can its saltiness be restored? Can it be made salty again? Now, as I was reading about this week, there's some debate whether salt can lose its saltiness at all, whether it can lose its salinity. But that's not the point. That's not the point at all. Jesus' question is, if the salt have lost its savor, where shall it be salted? If the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? He's saying, if it were possible, even if salt would lose its savor, how could it be made salty again? Well, his point is not, can this happen, but what if it happened? What would be the result if it did happen? And of course, salt that has lost its savor, as we read here, is good for nothing. Good for nothing. It is thenceforth, Jesus says, simply good for nothing. And of course, savorless salt would be ruined. What would unsalty salt be good for? Just a second, maybe this will help. Well, what's it good for? Unsalty salt is worthless. I think there's more S's in this message today than I've ever preached before. Unsalty salt is worthless. It is cast out. It is cast out. It is trodden under the feet of men. It is to be trodden under the feet of men. Let me question. As I was thinking about this, where would it be safe to get rid of such salt? Where would it be safe to get rid of such salt? Would you want to take the risk of throwing it out someplace where you might want to plant your tomatoes someday? You say, well, it's lost its saltiness, preacher. Well, do you want to risk that? You want to plant it where you're looking to put in some onions or some lettuce? Probably not. Probably not. No. What would you do with it? You take it out and throw it on the path where you walk. You take it out and throw it in the street where it's not going to cause a problem. where it can't be an issue. If anything, it might give you a little bit of traction. But you're not going to put it where it might corrupt the soil. It's good for nothing to be cast out and to be trodden under the feet of men. But now we really get to the message. We get to the message, the spiritual illustration of savorless salt. Had to add a couple more S's in there. The spiritual illustration of savorless salt. Now Jesus is not giving his listeners there in this sermon a lesson on science. He's not giving them a science lesson here. The important message for us is obviously a spiritual message. A spiritual message. Jesus, again, told his followers, he told his disciples, ye are the salt of the earth. Well, what do we learn from that? I think the obvious is that we, as Christians, are to perform the function of salt in this earth, on this earth. It is our job to bring savor to this earth. To this earth. Christians, beloved, as we just said, are to bring a savor into this earth, or to this earth. In Luke chapter 14, verse 34, where he speaks to the same message, he says, salt is good, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? Can we restore it? Jesus' message is no. We realize some folks don't like salt. We can put up with you. Some folks don't like salt, and that's fine. That's fine, but for most, salt improves and enhances of the flavor of the food that we so enjoy, and where it is obviously a pie. Now, it's interesting. In right application, salt will suppress bitterness and enhances sweetness. So the experts tell me. In right application, a little bit of salt will suppress bitterness and increase sweetness. Beloved, you and I as Christians are to improve the condition of the society that we inhabit. We're to be salt. We're to bring a savor into this world in which we live, to this earth planet. We are to improve the condition of the society. And by being the right influence, then, God's people will reduce the impact of bitterness in this world. Interesting. In that right application, we can bring a sweetness to where we are. Is it starting to get a little convicting? Yeah. It's interesting, though. Get this. I learned all kinds of things this week. It's interesting, in greater application, salt will suppress the sweet and increase the savory aspect in food. And through this, we realize that ability, that power that Christians can have to bring change. We have an ability, beloved, by our presence to bring change. We'll deal with that a little more in a moment. Jesus emphasizes this a little later in verse 16, where he says, let your light so shine. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Beloved, by the lives in which we live, by being the salt applied in this earth, we can have impact. We can have impact for the Lord Jesus Christ. We can even see our God glorified, to see Him honored. Oh my. Every one of us, take this. Beloved, every one of us that has Jesus Christ living in us has the ability, and we should be, a positive impact wherever we are. Now I'm getting convicted. Wherever we find ourselves, are we a negative impact, a savorless impact, or do we add savor? Do we bring change to where we're at? Maybe our imaginations could dwell on that a little bit. Wherever you go, wherever you're at. Huh? Are people happy to see you come through the door, or they say, oh no, here comes old pickle face? Huh? Here comes that old grump again. We're to be salt that brings savor. Our presence, dear ones, our presence should bring a sweet spirit into the midst. And where there may be a prevailing bitterness, we should seek to bring a sweetness. Huh? Say, preacher, you're asking a lot. There's times I just don't feel too sweet. Join the club. I think I'm the president. Huh? So what does it tell us? We have to be mindful. We have to be conscious of this. Now stick with me here. We see this matter of how we can be a savor, but we can also be a preservative. Christians are to restrain corruption in this world, on this earth. Salt, now listen to this. Salt does not have the ability to change that which is corrupted. You follow me? It can't take salt can't take corruption and make it incorruption. But salt can prevent. Salt can inhibit. Salt can even be used to arrest that corrupting process. Wow. Now listen to this. It's amazing. Salt is an amazing substance. We understand that it's a combination of chlorine and sodium, producing sodium chloride. Now you drink hydrochloric acid, and you'll probably be dead in a few minutes. But it's also amazing that hydrochloric acid makes up, for the most part, those gastric juices in your stomach. How can that be? Oh, it's evolution, preacher. Right. That God could create this human body in such a way to take something deadly and use it within our bodies for His good, for our good, I should say. Amazing. It makes up those gas. Again, are you all ready to go to lunch? Let's put that hydrochloric acid to work. Wow. Now you add sodium to chloride on a 1-to-1 ratio, and it becomes a substance that is essential to life, human life. You can season your food with it, moderately, of course. And as we know, it pleases the palate spiritually. When God adds, now listen to this, please. When God adds the salt of His grace to the poison of our lives. Every one of us are plagued with the poison of sin. God adds the salt of His grace. And what's the result? The miracle of a regenerated life. But it has to go farther. It has to go farther. Jesus says, as a result of that, He calls you and I as believers then the salt of the earth. The salt of the earth. Now get this. We who have been changed by God's heavenly salt, grace of the working of the Lord Jesus Christ in each and every one of our lives, right here on earth, as God's heavenly salt. You following all this? As God's heavenly salt, we're to have an arresting impact on the corruption of this earthly society. It's getting tougher, isn't it? Maybe we're losing our savor. Maybe the reason corruption on this earth planet is getting worse and worse is because we as believers, we as God's salt, are losing our savor. You see, when Jesus speaks of you and I as believers, the salt of the earth, you and I have been changed by God's heavenly salt. Right here, are to become salt, are to be His salt. When Jesus speaks of the salt losing its savor, He's not talking about some way that we could lose our salvation. It's not what He's talking about. It's not His message. It's losing the savor of our impact for Him. It's different entirely. Our salvation is secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's referring to one losing the positive impact of their testimony and no longer having that positive impact for Him. We're essentially, oh my, this is where it hurts. Following His analogy, what do we become? Useless. I don't want to be useless. I don't want to be useless on this earth for my Savior. Well, beloved, obviously this message is a message for Christians today. It's a message for you and I that know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And would you agree with me that there's probably never been a time in human history where this earth needs salty Christians? Salty Christians. The corruption of sin is everywhere. The perversion of sin is on every hand. My. Hollywood, the pop music world. We could go on and on. But that crowd is doing their best to what? Normalize perversion. To do its best to normal. Now listen at me. To do its best to normalize what God says is wicked. What God says is sin. And on the other hand, to demonize folks that would claim this book. I've said it before and it applies here. And we need to accept this, but beloved, the world looks at you and I, if we're salty, as the troublemakers in this world. You're the troublemaker. Who do you think you are? You got a mental problem if you think God talks to you. Huh? Been in the news for the last 2 weeks. Our vice president's crazy because he believes God speaks. Well, I guess I'm nuts too. I'm as crazy as a June bug in the light. Huh? But as a friend, dear friend of mine said, it's okay to be nuts if you're screwed on the right bolt. Huh? The world's crowd is trying to demonize you and to normalize sin. To normalize the wickedness and perversion. You can't turn on the TV. I mean, every night of the week, every channel anymore. There's some perversion being shoved down your throat. Amen. I'm starting to gag. Would we choose to be God's salt? And let the world do all the screaming it wants to do. We're not here. Now listen to me. We're not here to get along with the world. We're here to have a positive impact for Christ in this world. I don't want folks to hate me. I want folks to like me. Don't you? But I'm more concerned that I'm on God's side. I'm more concerned. Hey, the idea of the words that God, my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, would ever think of me as worthless frightens me. Lord, help us to be His salt. Can we be a savior for Christ in this world? What happened when you got saved? You received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. What happened? He took up residence where? In you. Huh? Christ lives in... By the way, what can Christ do? I read somewhere. It was in the Bible. Matthew 28, verse 18. He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. What can Jesus do? He can do anything He chooses to do. Amen. The Apostle Paul caught on to this. And then Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, he declared, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You see, we don't have to take on the world in our own strength. In fact, we're a fool if we do. But praise God, we've got a God. Hey, we've got God living in us. Why should we worry about what the world thinks? Now, we say this, and I'm going to say it. What's the worst thing, quote unquote, the world could do to me? Send me to be with Jesus. What? Send me to be with Jesus. Is that bad? Are we willing to take our stand with the Lord Jesus Christ? Would we take heed to His words? Ye are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. Well, my. But you know, I talked about that humble salt shaker that might well be sitting on your dining room table right now. How much good is that salt doing in the shaker? It's not going to make your lunch taste any better if it stays in the shaker. It's not going to have any ability to retard or prevent corruption in this world if it stays in the shaker. Folks, we got to come out of the shaker. I'll be honest with you. And more along the way, I'm thinking this is the case with Jim Turner. I could very easily go off to my little Christian corner somewhere. Let the world do whatever it wants to do. Just leave me be. But that's not what the Lord has for us. Huh? That's not what the Lord has for you and for me if we're saved. He wants to shake us out in this world where we can have that impact for Him. The impact for Him. Wow. Every believer, every Christian is to be salt. We're to be that salt, beloved. And my friend, if you're here this morning and you're not saved yet, I understand as we started the message that this message was primarily for folks that are saved, that do know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. But it's our desire, our prayer, that if you're here today without Jesus, that you give heed to His call, His invitation to you. The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh my. Guess what? From the moment you call on His name, He comes, forgives you of sin, cleanses you of all unrighteousness, takes up residence in you, and then what? You become His salt. You're given a savor for Him. The ability to retard that corruption through Him. Oh my. Dear one, let's be salt. Let's stand together. Father, we bow before You this morning and I'm thanking You for our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Lord, that's a pretty simple message. A simple challenge to every believer in this room. That we would be that salt that Jesus could use in this world. Father, help us to be that beautiful impact for You, a sweetness for our Savior. But also, Father, as we would be present in this world, would our very presence, oh my, be able to combat the corruption, the putrefaction, the depravity of sin. Lord, please, I'm asking You very simply but earnestly, use us for Your glory. Use this preacher, use every believer, every member of this church, every Christian present, that we would be that impact for You. But Lord, I also pray for anyone that might be here today that isn't saved. Lord, the passion of my heart, the desire of our hearts today is that they would go from this place as that new creature in Christ, that You might be pleased to draw savingly, gloriously to Yourself. Lord, I'm so thankful that You are still saving souls. Lord, please bless. Confess my great need of Thee, Father. Oh, how we need Jesus. I'd ask you, Lord, accomplish your perfect, beautiful, eternal plans here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother John.
Page 351.
As we sing, beloved, please obey the Lord. As always, just please do what He'd have you to do. These altars are open. Praying the Lord, help us to be salt, salty salt. We wouldn't be cast out, just used in the pathways. Oh, that we'd be used for His glory. Make a beautiful, beautiful impact for our Savior. Let's sing.
Take up thy cross and follow me. I heard my Master say, I gave my life to ransom thee. Surrender your all today. Wherever He leads, I'll go. Wherever He leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever He leads, I'll go. He drew me closer to His side. I sought His will to know. And in that will I now abide. Wherever He leads, I'll go. Wherever He leads, I'll go. Wherever He leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever He leads, I'll go.
I know this, when I'm putting together next week's outline, I'm not going to use so many S's. But I'm sure going to be praying, God, make me salty. Amen. You know, I guess I was, you know how your mind wanders at times? While I'm preaching, I guess it was the devil. I kept thinking about old salty. How would it be to be called old salty? Well, by today's message standards, I think that would be pretty good name. Old salty for the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? We have that impact. Brother John, would you come?
Let's sing our chorus, Oh How He Loves You and Me.
Oh, how He loves you and me. Oh, how He loves you and me. He gave His life, what more could He give? Oh, how He loves you. Oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves you and me.
You're dismissed.